Sustainable development is not an option, it is an imperative. Earth Odyssey is an international organization that aims to research, collect, and present solutions to inspire and empower the ones responsible for educating the children who will lead the world in the future. This is a podcast extracted from the webinar with panelists from around the world.
Webinar 9, Holistic Wellness, Responsible Pathways to Health, Happiness, and Sustainability.
Good evening. My name is Mahendra Shah. Welcome everyone who has joined us online. We have a wonderful group of panelists today. I want to begin by emphasizing what is the purpose of this webinar. As many of you online are aware that we've had 10 webinars which started with people, harmony, peace, nature, harmony, peace, and we built up to this level. So why this issue of nature? If we want to save humanity, then we have to save nature. And I think at this point in time, the pandemic has been an unprecedented event where we realize that neither our health, our life, neither our money, neither our economy is safe. And we have to learn to respect nature and to, like the indigenous people say, worship nature, because nature does not need us. We cannot survive without nature. Nature will go on forever. And even if we destroy it, it will find its harmony and be able to revive itself. So today's subject is, what will it take to start the world's awareness that we cannot go on, and the first priority is to get nature into as best a shape as we can. And if we look at the wealth of nations came from nature, nowhere else, whether it was minerals or timber or whatever it is. So one of the things that we want to discuss is how to mobilize a global citizens movement. If you look at the United Nations International Days, there have been 174 International Days over the last 50 years. And all these days are proposed by governments or by United Nations institutions. Not a single one can be proposed by a citizen or by an NGO. Yeah. And it is time that we need to look at this, because it's the eyes, the ears, the hearts, the minds of people, which is the best reporting of what's going on in nature. So when you look at, we have the Environment Day, which was established on the 5th of June, 1972 at the Stockholm Conference. That was the opening day of the Stockholm Conference, and that conference was about environment and development. The controversy at Stockholm was that the developing countries said, our problem is development. The developed countries that called the meeting said, our problem is environment. So when they established an environment day, and I asked myself the question, I was a young man in 72. At that time also, I asked the question to Maurice Strong, why don't we have a development day at this conference, an international development day? It didn't happen. And today we need an international sustainable development day, at least for this decade of SDGs. We need an international climate action day because of the climate 2030 goals. So the idea of having an international day, and our proposal is 14th of June. We couldn't do it on 5th of June, not because Environment Day is on 5th of June, because 5th of June was the opening of Stockholm and 5th of June was the opening of Rio. So we have chosen the end day of Rio, which was the 14th. Stockholm ended on the 12th. So we couldn't coincide the two. Now, the idea of one is this proposal of a global citizens, but of course you cannot have a Citizens' Day established internationally until the UN opens its door. So the challenge for us is how do we take this message to the citizens of the world? And one of the pathways to take this is through the youth, because we have so many youth organizations, and analysis of many of these organizations, like every other bureaucracy and administration, youth organizations are not working together. They're not coordinated. Each one has its own mandate. A youth organization is happy to work with Sustainable Development Department in the UN on SDGs, but not with the others who are in the ground working on this. But the youth is the entry point, because the youth can educate their younger siblings, the youth can educate mom, and the youth can also educate their dad. And in a matter of 5 years, the youth will have the power of their thumb and the power of their wallet, and they'll be in decision-making situations. So our future certainly is youth. So Earth Odyssey is focused on this. So the subject of our discussion today, you know, where do we start? Well, one, the most important is, what is the role of education in creating awareness, but not awareness and not support, but actions, that what we see happening in nature needs action. Awareness we have, support we can give, but support needs to be in action terms. It's not verbal support. So that's why actions is very important. And education, how can we introduce this from kindergarten to university? And if you look at the education system today, it's producing people with professional degrees with one aim: get yourself a good job with a high enough income to live a modern lifestyle of materialism, greed, and power. And that's where we are going wrong. Universities were established for society to have debates. That's over. I think one of the last one may have been in Oxford, King and Country. So the change from kindergarten to that, and we need to educate the educators, the parents, teachers, professors, etc. So education is the first one. So we need to mobilize. How do we mobilize the youth organizations to come together? And we have Dina with us, who is the youth network. We have a very successful organization of Green Hope, and we need to learn how the lessons of Green Hope can take us now into this world of nature. And we want to inspire women, so we need to bring the women organizations together. I think that message also needs to go out, because, and also men, of course, have to come to the table. And if there are more men like David, who are halfway house with both the energies, so much the better. Our eventual goal of International Day and creating a global citizens movement in a short time, no more than one or two, actually what we would love is the maximum time is 2022. We would like to see the Universal Declaration of the Rights of Nature to be declared globally by the powers to be, whether they're in governments, business, but much more the citizens of the world. So we have a two-year window to make this happen. And right now, the initiative of Ecocide, and we have Pella from that group of Ecocide, and crime against nature should be persecuted. Human rights from 48 were never persecuted except for Rwanda and one or two others. And every moment of every day, there is a crime against humans in every street of this world. But we can do so much. So this time with nature, it's in our interest that these crimes, the large crimes, are persecuted. And the reality of all this is, If we save nature, we save ourselves. Humans are selfish, but yes, we want to save ourselves, but we cannot do it without saving nature. So I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to call on the first speaker who came the last. David, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Mahendra. I'm so inspired by what you've shared today, and I think I want to begin by reflecting on one of your early quotes, which is, through my own words, I'm not really that worried about the earth itself. I think it'll be just fine. I worry about us. I worry about humanity, and I worry about the other life forms out there that are interdependent upon us, even if we forget that sometimes. I'll give just a little bit of my background. My most current urgent project is that I'm helping a company called airlock389.com develop a mask which destroys 100% of all COVID and other biologicals, contaminants, and virological contaminants. But my forever job is I'm a sustainability warrior. I was an educational warrior for many years. That's what my business card says. But I've evolved it with mental wellness, education, renewable energy as my longtime peers. How does that manifest over the last 36 years? First and foremost, and this speaks very much to what you were saying, Mahendra, is, you know, if the kids are going to be our vehicle, we have to know how to get to the kids. I'm a propagandist, literally. That was the essence of my undergraduate work at Berkeley in the early 1980s. So I produce movies. My last big movie was Steve Jobs. Concerts, television, events. I've done a number of events at the UN. I've got a movie on the rising oceans and the necessity of a rising humanity. I'm also an educator. As I said, I have a master's in education. I designed probably the world's first concept for using virtual reality for family therapy. That was in the later 1980s. I'm a venture catalyst for social impact companies. I've helped start about 50 companies one way or another. And I'm a philanthropist. I have several entities, which I'll address later. And now my presentation. Sustainable action and leadership begin with us. Everybody says that. I think that it might have even been said by Mahendra, and I'm sure others will say that as well. But what does that mean? Well, I believe that it begins with inner peace. I produced an event at the UN 2 years ago during the General Assembly called A Celebration of Peace. And I opened it by saying that global peace is not possible without inner peace. And inner peace is mental wellness. I define mental wellness as a subset of mental health, exclusive of those, you know, boutique issues like schizophrenia and bipolarity. I consider mental wellness, which has a more positive spin to it, as the aggregate of the typical clinical issues that most of us face: depression, anxiety, addiction, PTSD. I also believe that a very significant percentage of women on this planet have PTSD, but nobody recognizes that. And unfortunately, of course, suicide. I could share statistics with you, but I don't have enough time to do so. But let me just say that 1 in 3 Americans currently are considered clinically depressed or anxious, and 25% of all 18 to 24 year olds considered suicide last June, and that was in 1 month period. Mental health has been a real issue for a very long time. COVID has only made it much worse. I believe that mental health, or the lack thereof, is the source of nearly all of the challenges that we have on the planet, minus those that are naturally occurring. And, you know, I can argue for this. Look at narcissism. A lack of empathy leads to abuse and even genocide. Consider some of the leaders in the world, past and recent, and ponder what their psychological profiles are or look them up. Clinical anxiety and depression. I think the cost to the American, again, even though I live in Europe, I have an and I'm half Canadian, I have an American-centric perspective. I believe the yearly cost of anxiety and depression alone is $165 billion for loss of efficiency. And look at the lack of compassion. Look what it does to us and our ability to relate to our own environment, our dear environment. There are many, many vectors around sustainability that relate to nature and relate to our sustainability. But the biggest issue, I believe, and the primordial issue that creates nearly all of our problems is fear. Fear is a mental health issue. It drives compensation in the form of antisocial behavior and ultimately genocide. And certainly it's a lack of respect for our environment. In life, I worry about us from a Darwinian perspective. And what we have to do is come to the point where our primordial instincts are dealt with in society in a manner where we're not going to exploit each other and our environment as well. I personally believe that every human being is a potential superhero and a genius. If we can only just help each of us figure out what our purpose is and our unique contribution, every one of us, I believe, is a genius, but nobody teaches us that. That has to be something that has to be built into our global curriculum. We have to help everybody realize what that purpose is and come to interpret the negative issues in each of our lives as a positive for the value that they bring us. I actually developed a tool called 17 Questions, which helps people look at all of their life, particularly the bad things, and understand what their purpose, their mission is, and how to execute. I believe that mental health must, in fact, be taught into the schools. When I, in 1984, as I finished my undergraduate thesis, I figured out that there's no mental health education in American K-12 for many, many reasons. One of them is simply because mental health is considered a very libel-rich area because it's a soft science. So lawyers don't want mental health to be addressed. And there are those also in the religions that believe that you're infringing in God's world when you infringe, when you address mental health issues. So there are many cultural issues and mandates. But I believe that the sooner that young people understand that they're brilliant, that they're valuable, the sooner they realize why their parents fight or get divorced, why they feel compelled to drink or smoke or join gangs, the sooner that we'll have the literacy we need from a psychological perspective to begin to recontextualize our perspectives around embracing each other and embracing our earth together. I also believe that media literacy is equally important so that people can have discretion about filtering and interpreting the media so they can understand how and when they're being manipulated and make decisions as to whether or not they will comply or listen to themselves, which is, from my perspective, one of the key definitions of being an adult, when you listen to yourself and not others and you trust your gut. I really believe that one of the most important pieces of the puzzle is positive propaganda, a campaign literally using mass media, celebrities, sports, et cetera, and there are the beginnings of these campaigns out there to promote mental health or mental wellness, as I describe it, as a curriculum, but also as a social norm. And finally, I really believe that propaganda should help societies begin to understand how important mental health is, counseling, therapy, et cetera, because there are many taboos in many societies around therapy, for example. But just imagine how wonderful it is to have a very smart, well-trained person who understands pattern recognition listening to you and helping you understand your patterns. What have I been doing? Positive propaganda, as I said, through movies and concerts, et cetera. I'm putting a moonshot together, and I would assume that that doesn't mean dinner is happening. That means that my time may be getting close, but I'm nearly done. I'm beginning a moonshot, mental health moonshot with globalmentalwellness.org. I have another project called EIC Earth, which is focused on creating lifesteads in this respect. Where can we all start? Consider embrace our own mental wellness as the most important first step for all of us. Treat yourself and your spirit as best you can. Think of the metaphor of oxygen on an airplane. You need your own mental health so you can pass it on to your children. And these are the tough times, the toughest ever. And ponder what it means for mental peace. Finally, societies and education, as I said earlier, you know, really is where the front line happens for teaching our children. In the early 1980s, I learned that there were five ways that people learn: motor skills, verbal skills, higher order thinking, symbolic learning, and what was then called attitudinal learning. They didn't call it mental health, it was attitudinal learning. In the mid-90s, Kaiser and the CDC did a study called ACEs, relating mental health to physical health. And I believe that we should now move forward and marry mental health and physical health with natural health so that society embraces nature as much as it does physical health, mental health, and societal health. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, David. I don't like the word war, but if you are a warrior with ammunition to solve the education and sustainability problem, that's a great step forward. I was going to say that my own conclusion of our team has been not just mental health, and you brought in the physical health and the others and the genetic health and everything else. The conclusion we have come to, which we are now developing, and I think you are the right person together with Miroslav and the others, Dina also, to develop this concept that if you find the pathway to perfect holistic well-being, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, in every other way, then as a human being born to be rational, a genius within, will not harm people or nature on the step forward. So we need to look at, and I came across, I've been working on nature, you know, through this COVID pandemic, the one thing we forgot was immunity. Nobody was talking about it. You said, take herbal elements. And it turns out the Japanese for 200 years have been doing forest therapy. And we did this for the last 9 months. I have not one case of COVID-19 in my resort or in the village where we are among 400 people. Amazing. So it goes back that nature can heal. And there are unbelievable number of papers, and I'm going to send all of you if you're interested, on greening urban and greening the rural area and how it can help us recover in every aspect. So, David, thank you. And we, given your experience, I think you are the right, not our ambassador, but you are the right partner for where we want to go.
Two final comments.
I have just one thing. I have a glass of champagne here. And when you hear the champagne sound, please, your time is up. Go ahead.
The CDC now calls mental health biopsychosocial health. We should call it biopsychosocial and natural health. That's comment one. And comment two, there's a book called Exponential Organizations, focused on fighting the immune system. Society creates immune systems when you go beyond the entrepreneur to the employee. So we should be sensitive to the immune systems of all ecosystems, including governments, corporations, et cetera. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Dina, you have the floor.
Thank you, Dr. Shah, and thank you, David. I completely agree with you, everything you said. And I'm delighted and honored for being here today with all of you. And I'm looking forward to finding the possible solutions on such important and, let's say, crucial issue. My name is Dina Dragija. I am from Croatia. I'm one of the founders of Youth Leadership Network, organization that unites people, projects, and other NGOs to collaborate for a greater global change by cooperating with youth individuals from all over the world. Our aim is to create a global alliance of young leaders led by empathy and to promote a new form of leadership, more empathetic, more inclusive, and more united leadership, while and also promotes youth participation in the major international scientific conferences in the name of cross-cultural and intergenerational partnerships. And we serve as a bridge between youth and decision makers. And at the moment, YLN is closely working with the United Nations and World Academy of Arts and Science in shaping the global leadership for the 21st century. I'm also a junior fellow of World Academy, and I have a background in international relations and diplomacy and in cultural anthropology. And as I mentioned yesterday during our test call, my focus today is going to be on a mental health and need for a holistic approach to support the idea of you, Dr. Shah, that we cannot have a sustainable world if we as individuals and especially decision makers are not sustainable. And later I will speak about demobilizing youth. Unfortunately, I have a feeling that social sustainability and well-being of individuals is often overlooked aspect of sustainability, as sustainable development discussions often focus on the environmental or economic aspects. And today I would like to emphasize how all three dimensions of sustainability must be addressed to attain the most sustainable outcome possible. And beside this webinar resonates with my personal life and with my sole mission. since I'm very empathetic and spiritual being, and I deeply care about the nature, animals, and of course others. I'm mostly interested in peace building and peacekeeping and saving the world in every aspect. Therefore, I started studying international relations just to understand where is this obstacle in politics to actually bring this utopia I'm dreaming of, in which our planet and each individual can be saved. And during my studies, I realized how lack of empathy towards others and our planet, especially in the system, is our obstacle. And as you, Dr. Mahendra, said, the worldwide adoption of unhealthy and polluting modern lifestyles driven by this materialism and greed is destroying us. And that is why I decided to instead focus on anthropology, to understand cultures, especially cultural narratives, and the world in depth, and to see how can I help from the bottom to the top, not the other way around. And now I have a Master of Science in Anthropology, Politics, Violence and Crime, a course that enabled me to study cross-cultural conflicts and criminal profiles. And all the criminal profiles I came across in my research has shown me how behavior of the criminals mostly depends on their early childhood trauma and their experiences from their families and environment. And therefore, I'm also planning to finish one more degree in psychology or psychopathology to conduct a research on social sustainability and how to improve one's emotional stability from the earliest age, since I highly believe how improving the physical and social life of young people might secure us the most sustainable world and better tomorrow. And I think that it's important to work on the well-being, as I said, of individuals by securing quality of life for all, by ensuring the basic needs, health, housing, education, employment, and safety. And now I would like to turn to possible solutions in bringing the sustainability into our lives and system. First, I would say that its changes in the world must begin with changes in the education. Education must prepare children for not through facts, but through the correct mindset. And by correct mindset, I consider a person who is fully emotionally and physically fulfilled and is not affected by the narrative curriculum, but educated how to become open-minded person. We should adopt school curriculum that focuses on all three aspects of child being, body, feelings, and mind, and enable children to develop self-awareness and emotional intelligence and work habits aligned with sustainability and respect to others and nature. Methods should be carried through preschool, as you said, Dr. Mahendra, primary school, secondary education, and also college. And new curriculum could allow us to gather data that might prove how better tomorrow and more sustainable world could be secured with creating a new kind of a leader, one that can inspire others to achieve sustainable goals and build more just and empathetic society. Second solution is that government should finance holistic medicine to make it more accessible to everyone. Holistic approach differs from Western medicine because it focuses on the health as a whole and on the mental and lifestyle also, not only on the physical aspects. And I do believe in holistic approach because my father was saved by Ayurveda medicine and he had cancer. And since then, I'm working on some project with Ayurveda clinic in Croatia. And from my experience, holistic approaches are much needed and respected. So I suggest expanding knowledge on that and implementing holistic approach side by side with Western medicine. And I also suggest finding a ways to introduce holistic approach into the schools. And we could do that easily by using evidence-based data on positive experiences of people practicing such approaches. Third, now I'm going to shift a bit about youth. Third solution, when we talk about mobilizing youth into the system, Wildland gets very positive feedback from the decision makers and senior experts, especially in the World Academy of Arts and Science. And my suggestion to mobilize youth is helping by supporting their ideas through financing their projects and promoting their ideas globally, just to give them this motivation to engage. For example, the EU Parliament banned single-use plastic products recently, and we should now organize international sustainable youth fairs and to support sustainable innovations by promoting it to decision makers and investors. And once we find the alternative products, we should present them to the markets and help young people to realize their ideas. And good example is our team member, founder of Youth Leadership Network, Natalia Pogosheva. She is a senior expert supporting the initiative of a young Valentin Krechka from Ukraine, who has a ReLeaf paper company that produces new generation of wrapping paper from fallen leaves. Besides, Wylan is organizing many creative events that will include movie making and its social impact on the changes and humanity, and also social impact of art, poetry, writing, music, and many other creative events. And I would like that experts like you work side by side with us on those projects. And now, I do agree with having the good popular propaganda, but I would also, when speaking about mobilizing youth, I would like to be clear on one thing. There is a difference between young activists and youth in general. The majority of youth is trapped in this materialistic system and tends to be very ignorant. Let's take the Black Lives Matter movement as an example. Majority of youth join the movement because they tend to follow trends, not because they really care. Racism was a problem even before this movement, and I personally and other activists were speaking about unity and diversity way before this popular movement. But unfortunately, majority reacts only when something is popular and when celebrities are posting it. And my point is that the mindset of youth that are trapped in this materialistic system we are living has to change. And that is the mostly through education system, as I mentioned, and through an example of youth that can inspire them to actually lead this change. And also there is a third type of youth that doesn't trust the system, and they don't trust impossible changes because people lost trust in the government since not much is changing, and they do not even bother to try to make a difference. And that's why Wylan hopes to inspire youth worldwide to become that change, starting from ourselves, and by showing how solving problems is necessary always, not only when something is popular. And by also, we are trying, by being a bridge between youth and senior officials, we are trying to give youth this motivation and chance to operate, to cooperate with decision makers and to, for example, cooperate with experts like you, Mahendra, you, David, you, Miroslav, you, Yuri, and other speakers that would also help Young Leadership Network to with their networks and experience, and I'm looking forward to our collaboration. And we should also definitely focus on, as I said, well-being and mindset of youth, because even if the current decision makers will not make changes, as you, Dr. Mahendra, said, okay, I'll finish now. Once of youth of today will take their place, and they will be the change. So let's work on the strategies to secure well-being of young people and to bring youth back to the right path of human existence. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I was listening very carefully to you. Youth, spiritual, peace, international relationships, nature, education, from the bottom to the top. You are complete in making a difference, but you missed one word. I'm sorry, Dina. You didn't use the word action at all in all that you said. And that is the fundamental thing, that we need to have actions now, because we cannot make a difference without. So thank you so much. And David joins you in becoming partners with us. Thank you. Miroslav, first of all, let me thank you that at midnight we sent you an invitation last night, and your commitment, the work you have done, it's an honor for us to have you here. Miroslav, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Mahendra. It's a great pleasure and honor to be with you on this call and to join forces with this global mass mobilization of Earth Odyssey to get really everyone engaged in action for preserving Mother Earth, for preserving nature, and to really functioning better as a global community of people and organizations who care for the common good on the local and global level. And I would like to present what my organization is doing in this field. And let me see. It does not show me now the... Okay. a little bit of a problem. So I will share the whole screen. Let me see. Tell me if you will, if you see my PowerPoint presentation, please. Is it on screen?
Yuri?
No, it's not, unfortunately.
Okay. It's not, okay. Then I'm sorry, I will have to do it without the presentation. So my organization is the International Association for the Advancement of Innovative Approaches to Global Challenges. It's a civil society organization based in Austria, here in Europe. And it is, or the name says already that we are looking at systemic approaches, systemic solutions on mastering global challenges, and one of our key approaches and solutions is to get the individual engaged, get citizens empowered, motivated and empowered with the right resources, with intellectual resources, financial resources, social energy, and enabling environment. And that's what we are building, and we are building it in cooperation with the United Nations system. And I see on the call also Kekashan. We've met on several occasions, and we also both know how important culture is and music is. Samuel, could you please mute yourself? Okay. Anyways, so we have three pillars with our organization. One is the cultural pillar, one is the technology pillar, and one is the organizational pillar. And we are with the cultural pillar, we have the flagship initiative, Global Challenges Youth Music Contest. And we had a first edition in the context of Rio Plus 20 conference back in 2012, where we've got submissions from 300 submissions from more than 40 countries from all over the world. And we have seen that with this kind of communication, we can give young people the possibility to share their vision of a sustainable world, of a better world. And we can build a community, shift mindsets towards cooperative action. And that's something that we could perhaps consider also to collaborate in the future. And the second element, which is a very important one, is technology. How can we really use this new modern technology, of course, internet, but also the next generation of the internet, the technologies like blockchain technology, artificial intelligence, or the earth observation and citizen science, or this kind of data-focused collaboration where we really try to identify action potentials and to capture the value of citizens and youth action for the sustainable development goals and for climate action, to create digital assets and then to create rewarding mechanism, incentive mechanisms with new types of climate entrepreneurship or sustained agenda 2030 entrepreneurship, but also with gamifications. We have an initiative, it's called Climate City Cup. And also one element of this technological but also social empowerment is that we are working on Youth Climate Action Reporting Initiative, and we will launch it on the 20th of April, 2 days before the Earth Day. And President Biden is going to have a big climate summit on the 22nd. And as a preparation for this, we will have an event about unlocking the transformative power of youth with Youth Climate Action Reporting. And there we will present our plans for setting up a consortium, which will develop the scientific but also the technological foundations for an ecosystem comprising technology, social networking, but also economic incentives that will help people, young people, citizens to contribute to climate action, and then having this also registered in a global registry and also on individual climate action dashboard apps. And Yeah, these are some of these initiatives that we are working on. I'm happy that we have worked also with David on this mass mobilization with Action Now campaign already 2 years ago. And we've had a concert at the Grace Cathedral in San Francisco in 2018 in the context of the California Global Climate Action Summit. And we've had there also an a climate philanthropy breakfast at the Aquarium of the Bay, where we invited resource holders, these high net worth individuals, to invest in this kind of structures for youth empowerment and citizens action empowerment. And perhaps we can find ways to work on related topics also with your network. And with this, I give back. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Miroslav. Ich bin ein Österreicher.
Das ist aber sehr schön.
I spent 17 years at YASA and the United Nations, the Vienna International Center. So,
wow.
So welcome so much. I want to say that I love, like your words, transformational power of the youth.
Yeah.
Much better than you have the voting thumb and the power of the wallet, which is the reality. But it's a nice diplomatic word, transformational power of the youth. One of the areas we would like to work with you, because I was at Rio Plus 20, we published, I had a chapter in the Visions of the Living Planet, the last chapter of that book. Yes. What we would like to do at Rio Plus 30, we already are thinking of a musical event to conclude, and something like the Qatar Foundation with 24 international universities could be a target. So one is a musical event. Second is a documentary that we will be working on, a series of documentary that produces a global documentary. And third, if I think it would be wonderful if in 2022 we produce a citizen's report of nature. Citizens report, not experts. We need citizens of this world. And the youths, of course, have to be at the core of that because of the transformational power. So these are areas, and I really thank you for being you, and thank you for being with us. And like the other speakers we had, I'm sorry, you cannot escape from us. Thank you, Miroslav. I now call on Pella. Please,
hello.
You have the floor.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. I am Pella Thiel, and I am from Stockholm, Sweden. And I am chairing an organization called End Ecocide Sweden, which is working with ecocide as an international crime, which I wanted to talk to you about today. I'm also a co-founder of the Rights of Nature Network in Sweden and an expert in the UN program Harmony with Nature. And the word ecocide, which means mass damage and destruction of ecosystems, or actually literally killing your own home, was mentioned at the Stockholm Conference in 72 by the late Prime Minister of Sweden, Olof Palme. And the Stockholm Conference, which Dr. Mahendra Shah attended, which is very historic, I believe. That's the first UN conference on the environment. So it was historic in that sense. And since that conference, hundreds, or actually even up to around 2,000 different treaties and conventions has been made internationally on sustainable development, on climate, and on the environment. And we all know that we are heading in a direction where we don't want to go. So why is that? And I believe that this is because of a deep cultural assumption that we make in the culture I come from, which is a culture that is now colonizing the world and killing it in at the same time. And that assumption is around human separation from and right to dominate and control other living beings, the anthropocentric assumption that we make, which is also shaping the way we view development. So we see development as growing the human sphere. And we do that because actually, according to this assumption, there is no one else here. There are only human subjects. Humans have rights and interests and needs, but the other living beings don't. They are, according to our laws and our systems, they are rightless. So there's no one there to, there's nothing to hold us back, sort of. And I think that if we don't change that, we are going to end up where we are heading, which is, you know, killing life on Earth. So we have to shift that fundamental assumption. And the great thing is that this is happening, and it's happening very, very fast in a global scale. And when I started working on the idea that actually not just humans, but all living beings can have rights that can be recognized by our the institutions that we have now, by our legal systems that we have now. When I began working with that, I thought, I can do this. I can do this my whole life, and you know, I won't see so much change. But that proved to be wrong. And rights of nature is now moving in various scales, from local to global, and all over the world. And one aspect of that is ecocide as an international crime, which could be prosecutable by the International Criminal Court in The Hague, which is the institution where humanity as a whole can handle the most serious crimes of concern to the whole international community. So war crimes, crimes against humanity, and genocide. And there could be a crime against nature there as well, which is ecocide. There is a global movement now working for ecocide as a crime as well. I have been part of that movement for around 8 years. And most of the time, it has been very small and very slow, and but steady. But since last year, that's not true anymore. The interest in ecocide as an international crime has exploded. And there are now several states showing interest and backing this proposal. States like France, Belgium, Spain, and Finland. Sadly, not Sweden yet. But we are working towards the Stockholm Plus 50 conference, where the government of Sweden wants to host that conference. So that will be 50 years since 72 in 2022. And we think that the world there needs to galvanize around ecocide as an international crime. And that's perfectly possible. It's necessary. And we already have the frameworks and the institutions. So this is just a matter of will, really. And the government of Sweden has also said that this conference needs to reshape our relationship with nature. And I thoroughly think that's exactly what we need to do. And we have the ideas and the frameworks to do that. I think I need to keep short for everyone to have time to speak. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Bella, and thank you for being part of this ecocide initiative. It is very important that crime against nature be persecuted, at least the big crimes. But at the same time, we know what we need to be aware: what is a crime, and to know what is a crime, we have to have nature rights. We need that frame against which we will be able to measure. And much more important will be citizens on the ground who understand that cutting that tree or putting rubbish in that river is a crime for which they will not be persecuted, but it becomes. So we need the Universal Declaration of Actions for the Rights of Nature. And that's something is the idea of Earth Odyssey in declaring this International Day to move forward with that. And I hope, in spite of the fact that Stockholm has the Environment Day from the 5th of June, 72, please join us and also let us celebrate together Rio Plus 30 in 2022, because it's a continuum. The whole thing is a continuum with UNEP in the middle. Secondly, it's a great pleasure to hear that you are part of the Rights of Nature program and you are part of Harmony with Nature. And if you go through the Earth Odyssey document, which we will send you, these are all the webinars we've had, the 10 webinars on harmony, nature, peace, etc., is all there. And since you are already part of those programs, you are ideally positioned with Ecocide to really contribute to this mission that all of us have. So thank you so much, Pela, and thank you for joining us. Go ahead, Pela.
Yeah, thank you. Just to add to that, because to me it's really heartbreaking to see all the young people today doing their very best for the environment, while the large, powerful actors from business, they can still make profit by destroying ecosystems. So that's what Ecocide is about. It's about instilling a duty of care that we all have to follow, not just us as individuals, but all of us, also the powerful actors in the world. And right now, there is a very high-profile legal panel doing just that, doing the definition of ecocide as a crime. So they will present their work in June. Heads up for that. Thank you so much, Dr. Shah.
Yeah. I just add, Pela, that remember Nike that was making footballs for the World Cup using four-year-old children, and the citizen movement didn't stop buying Nike and they changed the policy. So part of ecocide is not always persecution and crime and criminality. It is also to get the citizens to use their power of their wallet to stop the business from doing that. Thank you so much. So, Pela, now we have Samuel. Samuel, where are you?
All right, calling good afternoon.
Yes, calling Lagos. Please come in.
Okay, thank you very much for the opportunity and for the time. So sorry, I don't know, my video has been giving me some issues, but okay, so hope you can see me now.
Yes, we can.
All right. Okay, so I want to treat on the topic on youth mobilization and climate education, which I believe has been a major top-notch all over the news and all over the globe about how youth participates in bringing forth climate action and also educating people in schools about climate education. I am Ambassador Samuel Chirikokore. I'm a POP Youth African Ambassador and also a POP Youth Mentor. And I am a graduate of Sociology and Anthropology from the Presidential University of Calabar. And over the time, I've been engaged with a whole lot of stakeholders, especially from policymakers, so CSOs and NGOs, collaborating in order to bring about sustainability in our environment, more especially involving youths at the grassroots level to carry out climate action in their communities. So I have also done a whole lot of work in terms of advocacy. So in this presentation, during my presentation, I'll be sharing with us on most of the things, life experiences I have carried out and also field experiences on advocacy. So talking about nature and its sustainability is something that is a responsibility for all, not just for one person, which calls for action. It's not just a little action, but a rapid, immediate action for everybody. And if we don't act now, it means we are taking our future at risk. And if we don't act now, it means basically we don't think about our next generation and also ourselves. We have been seeing what is going on all over the world. We have people are unable to sleep well. The world has been faced with a whole lot of ravaging disasters. both natural and man-made. In my course, well, when I was an undergraduate in the university, they taught us about something that has to do with what we call social change. And they say social change can be man-made and it can be natural. But what you are seeing currently is not the man-made, the natural social change is what we, is what I see as man-made social change, which has resulted as a result of a man's action to his environment, rising from cutting down of trees, deforestation, bush burning, and we have coal, we have gas flaring, which is really high in Nigeria, and we have a whole lot of things that man is not even considering in terms of human health and mentality as well, the mental process of man as well, because at the end of these things, it's gonna cause a whole lot of mental damages, not just to us inward, but to us outward, leading to aging at a very young age. So you may see someone at a very tender age, and you keep wondering, is this person up to 50? But looking at the age, it's just a minor age of 20 or so. So we are also going to talk about these things, and I'm looking forward to a more engaging and sustainable time with Earth Odyssey in terms of mobilizing youth all over the world. My goal is not just in Nigeria. My goal is Africa. My goal is global. My goal is bringing youth all over the world to act for a particular cause, bringing youth all over the world to say no more man's action on our environment, not just on our environment, not just on trees, but also on all living species, including plants, including animals, especially endangered species. Let's just take, for instance, that we wake up one morning and just for you to realize that your house is no longer where it used to be, but it has been affected by a natural or man-made disaster due to man's action to the environment. How would you feel? Would you feel like still be at peace with yourself, or you feel like taking immediate action just to mitigate that process? We are talking about the UN have initiated the COP26, and there has been a whole lot of preliminary section going on. And we have been seeing a whole lot of works that the UN recently joined back the Paris Agreement. But that is not just enough joining. What we need is action. We don't want vocal words anymore, because talks are really flaring everywhere. People are just talking, we want action, we want action. We want to see the action, we want to see it work. And that is basically what I'm in for. I want people that are really in for working things out to get results done, to get the work done. We need youth, and for us to get youth is not just me, but at times I keep on wondering at times, what if I can multiply myself in 1,000 species, in 1,000 places, it will get the work done easily. But since I cannot multiply myself in 1,000 persons, I think I also need people too who have the same crazy passion like I do to bring forth the change we want, not just in our environment, but the globe at large. Thank you very much. I'll also give the platform for others to talk to. Thank you. I'm Samuel.
Thank you. Thank you, Samuel. We need the voice of Africa. I personally was born in Nairobi in Kenya and spent my childhood there. And it's good to have this voice of someone who is working on the ground. And your passion for it is so much welcome. And you are the kind of youth leader on the ground floor, doing the actual work. And we are available, as we have discussed, that the new project you have from POP, Earth Odyssey, will be very happy to freely be available to you to discuss and consult with us. So now we come to...
Thank you. Thank you very much for that, Wes.
Thank you. Thank you, Samuel. Stay with us. Now we come to not an old friend, but a young friend, Keke Shan, who has really been very supportive. Keke Shan, we appreciate. At the tender age of 8, she planted her tree, and she's been devoted to this whole movement and is exemplary in the whole world. And why I saved her at the end? For two reasons, and two reasons only. And those are two words. The first word is green, which is what we need our nature to be. And the second is the human word hope, because she's the founder of the Green Hope Foundation. So Keke Shan, thank you for being you, and thank you for joining us today. You have the floor.
Thank you, Dr. Shan. Once again, it's wonderful to be here today with all of you. Hello, once again, from Toronto, Canada. I am Keke Shan, as was just said. I am a United Nations Human Rights Champion, a Forbes 30 Under 30, one of Canada's top 25 women of influence, and the only Canadian to win the International Children's Peace Prize. I'm also the council lead of the Toronto St. Paul's Constituency Youth Council, winner of the first ever Voices Youth Gorbachev Schultz Legacy Award for my work on nuclear disarmament, and of course, the founder president of Green Hope Foundation, which is a global social innovation enterprise localizing the SDGs across 25 countries with over 140,000 people globally. So now human beings are making Earth a broken and increasingly unlivable planet through climate change, overconsumption, biodiversity loss, and pollution. And from the days of the first industrial revolution, we have seen a dramatic shift in the ways human treat nature, viewing it essentially as a resource to be exploited and to fulfill its needs. And with the human population more than doubling in the last 50 years, the impacts of our selfish and short-sighted consumption patterns are now clearly visible for all to see. And we see the signs every day in all parts of the world through increasingly warmer summers and consequently increasing colder winters, floods, glacier bursts, forest fires, microplastics in the food we eat, disappearance of fish in our rivers and oceans. The list is endless. And last year, when we were hit with the COVID-19 pandemic, which is a zoonotic disease, and it has become now the greatest challenge in our living memory. And at the ongoing 5th UN Environment Assembly, where Green Hope Foundation is engaging in multiple forums, a report stated that loss of biodiversity and ecosystem integrity together with climate change and pollution will undermine our efforts on 80% of assessed SDG targets, making it even more difficult to report progress on poverty reduction, hunger, health, water, cities, and climate. Inger Anderson, the executive director of UNEP, said, "We need to look no further than the global pandemic caused by COVID-19, a zoonotic disease that is transmitted from animal to human, to know that the finely tuned system of the natural world has been disrupted. And finally, the toxic trail of economic growth, pollution, and waste, which results every year in the premature deaths of millions of people across the world." Now, modern day technology has given us the tools to assess the impacts through data, and the statistics are really frightening because Earth is on its way to an additional 3.5 degrees Celsius warming from now, which is far more than the internationally agreed upon goals in the Paris Accord. About 9 million people a year die from pollution. There are more than 400 oxygen-depleted dead zones, and marine plastics pollution has increased tenfold since 1980. And I could go on and on about this. But the main point is that all of these problems are interconnected, and it is this complexity that we, as responsible global citizens, need to address by adapting to sustainable lifestyles, by consciously making the right choices, be it in terms of what we eat, what we waste, and even who we vote for. And we must realize now how important it is to learn to live symbiotically, because that is the only way that we can stop this frightening rate of degradation that's taking humanity to the edge of a precipice. And transformative social change is required in both the social and the economic systems. And while we pursue this evolutionary process, we need to bear in mind that we can't overturn the damage of the past centuries in just one day. So for that, we need to be persistent. We need to set out defined milestones and monitor progress constantly. And we already possess a well-articulated blueprint in the form of the Sustainable Development Goals in the 17 SDGs and 169 targets, whose overarching objective is literally to achieve the balance that we lack now amongst the three pillars of society, economy, and environment. And every individual, organization, or community has a role to play in moving society along pathways towards a sustainable future that will vary across nations, regions, and contexts, including through existing institutions and policy approaches, but most importantly, through their active implementation. And this is our mantra at Green Hope Foundation, where through education for sustainable development, we enable children and youth, as well as other stakeholders, to not just learn about sustainability challenges, but take localized solutions to solve the problems. For instance, there are many policies in the world to harvest rainwater in countries where there's too much rainfall. But how many countries have actually implemented rainwater harvesting systems? We talk about this in conferences, professors submit abstracts, but where is the implementation? Green Hope Foundation did this in a village in Bangladesh, installing rainwater harvesting systems there to provide clean drinking water. So basically, we need political will and most of all, active implementation at the ground level. Going back to clean drinking water as a human right, we have installed deep bore tube wells as well to ensure that we have clean water and sanitation, and especially reaching out to the most vulnerable communities. There are policies that talk about eliminating fossil fuels and moving to clean energy, but where is the implementation there, particularly in the most marginalized communities? Green Hope Foundation has installed solar panels in a town in Liberia so that the children can study at night, so that the youth can move away from a life of drugs and crime, and so that the girls can have safe spaces, and especially at night. So basically, we need a cross-sectoral, multi-stakeholder, intergenerational dialogue, and a bridging of the opportunity gap that lies between the top-down and bottom-up processes, and really adopting a grassroots approach towards solving our world's greatest challenges. Finally, as young people, we need to play a larger role. Our efforts need to go beyond the protests and strikes, beyond the tokenism that relegates us to just shouting slogans and the youth summits, which are all, in fact, another way our passion is exploited. We need to have a seat at the table, not because of our age, but because of our work. And because of that ground level work, we need to be the drivers of that ground level action of engaging our communities. And instead of just blaming others, ensuring intergenerational solidarity and multilateralism so as to encompass the unique experiences of each generation and every stakeholder. Now, the road ahead is rocky and time is not on our side, but I've always believed that it is never too late to start. Despite the complexity and magnitude of the problems we face today, if each resident of our planet starts taking actions, then this battle can be won. Thank you so much. And back to you, Dr. Shah.
Thank you. Thank you, KK Shan. Your work that you've been doing at the ground level, the way you have Green Hope Foundation in all countries with the solar, with the clean water, and so on. And this is an example of what we need to achieve across the world by all youth organizations. And when you say that the youth need this power and passion to do this, remember, we adults promised you at birth that you will inherit a better world than what we had created. And that's a promise from all parents who tell their children. And these are the parents that need transformation. And the youth have to work up with the parents and grandparents and down with the siblings at the bottom, the younger ones. So you use three words: responsible global citizens movement. And it is time that the citizens of the world have their voice heard for actions, as you emphasized. And so my personal plea to you personally, I'm sorry to say this in public, but my personal aim to you that you have done a wonderful job of Green Hope, and it is time, and you have the knowledge, you have the experience, you have the personality, and you have the passion to please come up to the decision-making tables of this world, and let's make a difference together. And we at Earth Odyssey very much look forward to your partnership in these panel discussions we want to do around the world on different issues. So thank you so much. As ever, we are grateful. Thank you so much. I am now going to, after Green Hope, we need peace. Ambassador Yukepeme, you have the floor.
Greetings. Thank you, Dr. Shah. My name is Ukpeme Okon. I'm an ambassador for peace and so on. I would like to, as we have said this before, and I'll reiterate that as we advocate the respect and protection of human rights, we must advocate the respect and protection of nature rights. The action needs start from us. I am a firm believer in individual action. And so the family is the core unit of society. What we do in the family, how we teach our children to respond and treat and react with nature, it goes a long way in the broader picture that we seek, in the nature rights that we seek. How we teach our children to treat flowers in our house, in our homes, flowers in our environments, our trees, even the air around us. These are actions that count. And so when we are talking about nature rights, let us begin to act in our homes. Let us begin to act in our immediate environment. Let us begin to teach our children. Let us begin to teach our neighbors how to treat the plants, not just, you know, maltreating. When you see a plant just outside your home, or even the plants we have in the home, let's show love. No, let's show love to these natural elements that we have, even the trees, even the air. How do we keep our air clean? So these are just examples of the way that we can start, you know, within ourselves and around us to respect nature. And so when we are advocating nature rights, we have advocates from the home who can carry this message, not just in talking, but in action. And so we need to start from ourselves. We need to start from our families. We need to respect nature that we immediately see and feel. And so if we need a more just world, and we need a more peaceful world, we need a more developed world and a more harmonious world, we need to start from ourselves, and we need to start in our families, from our families, and we need to start, you know, the way we interact with our environment. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Yukepeme. I want to add to what you said. You are part, of course, of Earth Odyssey, that the proposal that we have of a day to celebrate nature, the International Citizens' Day for Nature, on 14th of June. We don't know which day 14th of June will be, whether it's a weekday or not, but our aim, unlike all other international days, the 174 days, is different in the following way. We want to celebrate that day for 2 hours, parents talking to their children about nature, in school teachers talking, in university devoting 2 hours on the 14th of June. That's all day, everybody, governments, business, everybody should have a meeting 1 or 2 hours in their offices to talk about nature that day. But the following weekend, after the 14th of June, that's a weekend to go and take some action into nature. Action such as, can you imagine if 7 billion trees were planted on every 14th of June? What difference we would make to this world? Not necessarily 7 billion trees, but call it 3.5 billion trees and 3.5 billion potted plants. So that is very much in line with what we want to do. Yuri, before we open up the discussion, please, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, everybody. It has been great. I mean, all these presentations have been really, really informative and amazing just to follow. I'm just going to share the video we made to mark this date as we propose it. So I'm going to just play the video now. Okay, just a short introduction. We have, of course, a campaign that we're starting. We hope to get it in a few years going so people can really join and make this a difference, make a Nature Rights Day so we can celebrate and, you know, bring awareness and actions. I just want to share one historical fact. You know, you guys, you know what happened on January the 1st, 1808 in America? You know what happened on that day, almost 200, over 200 years old? Ago. It was the day the American Senate approved and starts to, you know, become effective the act prohibiting importation of slaves from Africa. So 200 years ago, the Senate, almost, I don't know if you know this, but most of the senators of America, even the ones who came from the states that used slavery as their main, you know, economic source, the states in the South, the farms, they also approved the prohibition of bringing slaves from Africa. They didn't do that because of, you know, human rights or because it was cruel, it was wrong. No, they did that because they felt their world was threatened. If they let the slaves, enslaved people grow to a much extent community, they could overtake their country. It just happened in Haiti years before. So they were afraid they would lose their world as they knew it, as they liked it. So I just bring this fact because sometimes change demands more than just nice words and nice actions. Demands sometimes, like in this case, to put the fear of losing their word into the, you know, minds and the people who really has the power to make a law and pass the law. So I think we have to have a very big movement and have actions, and people really have to see people who decide, the senators, the governments of the world. And they say that because I know in Brazil what's happening here is terrible. But if we make our governments know that the world's about to change, we're really going to lose our planet as a human species. We're going to be destroyed. Then maybe they act. So I think we have to have this movement growing and cooperate between all these different organizations and do this citizens movement, like Mahendra said, not only governments. And then we put this, I don't know, fear, but we put this awareness into the governments. We really have to change. We really have to move and declare nature's rights for our own sake, to preserve our own world. Thank you. That's all thank I have you. To say.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Yuri. Just a couple of sentences. The purpose of the video that Yuri just shown, it's a beginning of a video. And the central message of that is going to be, we are watching you with tears in our eyes. That's the animals. Because you are on your suicidal pathway. And we in nature, some of us will die. But many of us will survive because nature will work in harmony and revive. You know, the bonobos, the monkey species, there are 350,000 left in the world. And every day, 350,000 human babies are born. And they are the first to go. And the gorillas, our nearest relative, will be the first to die. So that nature film is going to be the voice of nature projected to humanity. And that's our aim, one of the documentaries that we'll be producing. Now, the floor is open, please. Sorry about the limited time you had, but I'm glad I didn't have to finish my champagne. I still keep it on the side. Go ahead, please. Yeah, go ahead.
Just to say that this initiative to just that people should be criminally liable for the fact that they're destroying nature amazes me. And my final dissertation was about the hog and the Croatian war for independence and the narrative of the cultural aspects from Croatia and Serbia. And I would be very happy to see that this initiative is going to be implemented in a hug, and I'm looking forward to it. And I would like to be to help as much as I can. I'm so enthusiastic and excited right now, so I don't even know how to say all of these words.
Fantastic! You're so welcome. I mean, if I can say something about that, Dina, it's like exactly as you all have said, these things move forward only because people do that. People move them forward together. Individuals get together in groups. And it's, to me, it's amazing the small number of people that has been moving the idea of ecocide as an international crime forward. And we are now many, but for a long time we were few. And it's crucial that we gather in our countries to tell the governments that, you know, you have to get behind this. Because if we don't have frameworks that hold us collectively accountable in our relationship towards nature, I don't see how we can make this transition. So you're so welcome. Please connect.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Bella, for saying that. And since it's only afternoon where you are, I want to thank Jojo for persuading you to be here with us. But you can give us the good news that the Parliament of Croatia will be connecting with you. And that's a big step. And that's what Earth Odyssey and the networks each one of us are building is all about. So, Kegeshan, Samuel, you're frozen. Okay, Kegeshan is up.
Okay, so yeah, so all right. So it's really been an engaging time, an engaging moment as well. Like hearing Ikpeme talking about peace and also talking about our responsibility to nature and nature's rights is really something that is a top concern. And also seeing that video really broke my heart. Like, I feel like crying anyway. Not just, I've not seen my nest is something that we just have to be concerned about, to know that these animals as well, if they are also human beings, they wouldn't as well do the same thing, but they will also think as well of how to preserve their own lives. But since they are not human beings, is really something that we have to think about. What if we are animals, and what if these animals and this environment we are destroying are we? How are we going to react? So it's a question that we just have to ask ourselves at times and also answer it with all sincerity. What if I am a turtle, and what if I am a pangolin? What if I am one of the endangered species that are being hunted? What if? We will see that, yes, animals deserve their rights. We will see that we will try by all means to preserve and conserve all species on Earth, which is helping us strive greatly for the preservation of our ecosystem. And then with the POP movement, I'm carrying out a project on climate education, using it as an adaptive approach to tackle climate change. And this project is not just all about Nigeria, it's not just all about Africa, but it's all about the world. I'm looking at, after this project, many people will be able to replicate it in their own country and achieve sustainable results. That is the essence of this project. It's not just a one-day off project, but it's a project that is going to bring forth a light to many nations, especially those nations that are having great issues in regards to climate change. I'm open to Earth Odyssey for a whole wonderful time during my project, as they have given me their support. and also Youth Leadership Network. I know I have been with them, for I've been one of their speakers, and also they have also given me a report and a support as well. I'm also open to Green Hope Foundation. Yes, it would be nice working with Green Hope Foundation, regardless of location, but I know once we initiate the process, they can also adopt as well, and also we can get things going. So it does with more of collaboration. That's how I see things. I tell people collaboration helps to get the work done easily without stress. Collaboration gives you this top-notch spotlight without stress. And those things that you would need to pay through collaboration, you just get them easily. So thank you very much, and I'll still be here as well.
Samuel, wonderful words. I listened very carefully, and what you were saying was, I'm hurt so much. I am so sad of what is happening in the world of nature. But I will do my crying in the rain, but my passion will go on to make this a better world. So beautifully said, the middle sentence, and we are going to use that. Thank you, Samuel, and we will be working with you. Please. Next.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I'd just like to echo that and say that, yes, partnerships and working together is so crucial, specifically in this day and age. And, you know, just by making the right choices today and without any further delay, I don't think it's too late to shape the major trends of our time in the direction that is sustainable and delivers benefits to all. And to drive this change, we'll not only need a change of behavior, but also political will to create and implement just policies. And this creates the potential for co-benefits where a positive result is achieved in one area through an intervention designed to generate change in another. And to really propel effective, mutually reinforcing changes and significantly greater impacts. And just in this regard, I'd like to add that I tend to disagree with the popular notion that all of the responsibility lies with the developed nations. Of course, they must act with haste in cutting down emissions, reducing overconsumption and waste, but even developing countries and LDCs need to take actions. And there are several case studies that one can take inspiration from. For instance, Costa Rica, a very small country that has for the past 25 years adopted a successful sustainability agenda. Suriname, a very small country again that has the unique badge of being the most forested country in the world with 93% forest cover. And Green Hope Foundation has an ongoing partnership with their youth parliament. And for the last 3 years, we're working at a grassroots level as well as engaging their policymakers to ensure that their economic growth continues in harmony with nature. And these small countries face the same challenges of poverty, inflation, and scarcity as other nations do, perhaps even more so, but they've taken the bold policy decisions, and most importantly, they're engaging their citizens in adopting sustainable lifestyles. So once again, just to reiterate, the key to change lies with the individual, and once each one of us realizes this, we can achieve the future we want.
Kekeshan, one of the priorities for the youth, you know, we can pay homage to all the nice words in the UN, by the governments, by the business, but let's go to the Paris Accords. Everybody clapped, everybody said it was a success, targets of reducing emissions were set, but there was a bracket which says non-binding. And that totally destroys all the nice hope and all the pleasure and ceremonies we had, because it's non-binding. And if you look at the history of United Nations, all these conferences, agenda after agenda, promise, endorsed anonymously across the world, but no action. And that is where Green Hope, Samuel, Ecocide, Dina, these are looking at action, and we need, and that's the motto of Earth Odyssey, it's just action. And that's all our documentaries that we want to prepare in 30 countries for panel discussions with half the youth and half others. It's only to talk about a movie that will show action, not what the climate problem is or not what the deforestation problem is, but what are the actions we need to take. And that has to be the Global Citizens Action Day for the Rights of Nature.
We are looking forward to this documentary, and we are planning to include all of us, or what is your plan on this documentary? Because I also have a friend that is a young movie maker, and she made a movie, The Stamp. She's from Croatia, about the refugees, and I think she would be a great person to collaborate with. And that is what YLN is all about, to connect people, ideas, and all of us, because when we are united, we are more powerful. And that's the point.
Yeah, you, Dina, you talk of, this is the first time we have met in this webinar, and you talk of how can we work together and how shall we do this. No, I'm sorry, you are already part of this. We have some emotional spirituality in us. So every one of you has so much to contribute. We all have the same mission. And none of us, even in the Secretariat of Earth Odyssey, need a job, need an income from this. We have our own specialities. Yuri is a documentary maker. He sailed, he built a Phoenician ship in Tunis, and he sailed to prove that the Phoenicians were across in Florida before Columbus. And the next project is he's going to paddle, and I want to join him this time, although he told me if I'm allergic to mosquitoes, to paddle from one end of South America to the other end on the Amazon. So, but to go back, we want you all, and we are there for you. It's one family. And let us take it as on actions with total honesty and with no personal self-interest. For the youth of today, the personal interest is you need to rise in the organization. Why? For only one reason, because the higher you rise, the higher the possibility of contributing to policy and decision making. So that scenario you must not forget. But your passion, which people like Kekeshan have from the age of 8, and so do the rest of you, is what we need. And that passion can convince your siblings and your mom and your dad. And as a family, the biggest thing the adults want, their legacy, is that the children have a beautiful life, contributing and being a good person. So we are a family, and spread the word, and everyone is welcome. And we hope to have all of you in many of our webinars, because your voice is very important to us, if not in all the webinars that remain. And we are going to make this musical documentary. I had the great honor to be at We Are the World in 1984, because I was director of that African Emergency Office. And that's a moment to realize that music, more than anything else, will unite the people, and we need more songs. We need a song, which I am starting, and I must say that when Dina wrote to me yesterday, and the last four, six lines of her word, this is my song, which I'm writing. I cannot yet finish it, but it's Imagine Nature. And so it's taking John Lennon's words and rewriting in imagining what's happening in nature and what it will mean. So it's a great beginning. So it's thank been a wonderful time, and we want you, thank you for being with us. Yuri, let me give you the floor.
No, just thank you. Just say thank you very much, everybody, for this contribution. It's been amazing. And the road ahead, it's longer. It's very longer. We know that. But I think together we can make this crossing. We can make this transformation. And of course, Mahendra, you are welcome to the Amazon. Of course, everybody here is welcome. We're going to have a solar boat with pedal and solar boat hybrid to travel the Amazon. Please join us anytime in the as long as you're not allergic to mosquitoes. Sorry, we do have those here. So I hope to see you soon.
Okay.
I want to just add. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Samuel.
Okay, thank you. So, I just want to say something. Yuri is awesome seeing what you do. And also, yes, I read some things about you in the space of video making, filmmaking. It's really awesome to learn most of the things you do. And believe me, if I was around, I would have been available to go with you to the Amazon, because I've had so many crazy things happening in the Amazon. Okay. One thing I want to say and also retaliate is about youth commitment to the globe at large. Is if there's something I'm just passionate for, is the energy in youth. Now, it's not like basically most of us, we are not youths. I know Yuri was once a youth, Doc was once a youth, everybody here was once a youth, but now this is our own youthful age and this is our own time to do much more than what you guys did when you were youths. And for me, I think we have the power now to transform the globe, not just our society. I will take from the words of Upeme, who says, little things we do individually creates an impact globally. So we have to start from our immediate community, expand it to neighboring communities, expand it to societal level, expand it to national level, and expand it all over the world. So it starts within. And Doc was saying something about youth coming to the table of policy making, which is something that I am really keen about. And if we are serious as youth, we want to get things done, yes, we have to own up to the responsibility of policy making. We have to own up to the responsibility of decision making. And we cannot make these things by just sitting and carrying out actions. We have to contest for elections, yes, to change the whole framework, to change the whole scope of things. Because the policymakers are up there and we are down here. So for we to get these things right, we have to be involved in the whole process. And it does more with politics. We saw what happened in the US election. Nobody was busy talking about climate change apart from Joe Biden, who also came on board and as we all instituted the Paris Agreement. Donald Trump was more of talking about politics, talking about coronavirus and all that. But this is something that we have to be conscious about. If the world comes to an end today, nobody's going to make it. We are the ones to sustain our earth. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You can pay me.
Thank you. I thank everyone for your insightful words and actions. I would just say that individual and collective actions are the way to achieve our lofty goals. Let's start from ourselves. Let's start to develop inner peace. Let's start to be that peaceful person that can exude peace. Let's the action start from us. And let it start now. Let's end this event and, you know, look at the trees outside our homes, look at the plants, just appreciate nature and show that empathy, show that love to the people to the world around us. And I can be sure that this will go a long way to achieving our aims. Thank you.
Thank you. Bella.
No, I'm nothing to add, actually. I'm just fulfilled by those words. Thank you, Ukpeme.
Kekeshan.
I too would like to echo what Ukpeme said. And once again, we need individual actions. Of course, we need collective actions and we need multilateralism, because at the end of the day, we are one of humanity. And if we don't take action now, we are literally self-destructing. So let us begin there, begin with the partnerships, and together let us achieve that resilient, just, equitable, sustainable world.
Dina.
There is also nothing to add. As I said, we have to work on ourselves. We have to work on individual, mental, and physical being. And also, what I wanted to say is that Wylan presented an application recently, a few days ago, on a conference. And I would like to send you this presentation via email. So if you could, Mahendra, put us all into one email. Because we could all work on this application that is working. I don't know if you know about the Clubhouse. It's kind of the audio casual base application, and we developed the idea about the application that would connect civil society, youth, and decision makers. So I would like to share this idea with you. So maybe we can work on that project also together. Could be very interesting. Because also we could gather data. We incorporated that aspect to gather data and the worldwide data about the specific concerns. So I think it would be very nice when, while we are doing the projects, that we can also gather data and to connect in this short time, in these uncertain times, especially in pandemics, when we are not able to have these face-to-face meetings and interactions. So this platform might serve. And also, nothing else to add. Let's be the change we should see in the world.
Thank you. Yuri, you have something to say? Go ahead.
Yeah, just to answer Samuel, thank you for your words. We might be able to work together in Africa, Samuel, because our model of this hybrid boat, we're going to be donating the plants to the Amazonian tribe so they can build their own solar boats, because it's a big problem for them to buy gasoline for their, you know, boats they have to use to communicate, to bring, you know, children to schools and stuff. So we're going to have the model, we're going to donate. So we can do the same for Africa. If we have tribes that need or communities need boats to go, you know, across long distance, instead of using gasoline, they can use solar power. We're going to teach them how to do that and have a kit that is affordable so they can have it. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much, everybody. Thanks, everyone.
So in conclusion, just to add a sentence that we are, I think this is the 10th or the 11th webinar in our series. And if it's the 11th, it's the 11th hour. And the contribution that David, Dina, Miroslav, Pela, Samuel, and Kekeshan that you have made makes this one of the finest, one of the most promising webinars we've had, and gives us total hope that no matter what, we are going to deliver in 2022 the vision and the goal of Earth Odyssey. So, a heartfelt thanks to you, and we look forward to working very closely with you. Thank you. Thank you.
Have a nice day, everybody.
Join us at earthodyssey.org and sign our YouTube channel at youtube.com-earthodyssey.